Major League Soccer, Worlds Colliding. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It is the Orlando Soccer Show for a Thursday, November 2nd. And let me tell you what, you know, for the first time in what feels like forever, it's the first week of November and it actually feels like fall outside. It is awesome. I'm loving it. I've worn a sweater to work for each of like the last 4 days and it's just been the best. Driving around town, anywhere that's not the highway, AC off, windows down. It's awesome. And, you know, I love the fall weather. It's the best. I'm going to go ahead and give an early red card right now to the people who complain about the fall weather, who people say, you know, I don't like the cold. Like, I know you most likely came from the north to get away from the cold, but get out of here. I live here. I've been here almost all my life. I hate the heat. I hate it. I love the winter, and I'm ready to just wear jackets nonstop. Solo show this week, unfortunately. So we'll try to make it short. We'll try to get to some of the big points. We'll try to hit on everything. Obviously, I don't like doing solo episodes, but it's something we have to do sometimes, and I want to try to keep getting things out to you guys. It's the off season. There's going to be a lot of vamping, a lot of new ideas and things that we bring in, because obviously Orlando City is done. Their season is over. Competitively, at least this Saturday, there's the Puerto Rico friendly at Orlando City Stadium. Make sure you get a ticket for that one. It's going to be an exciting night. Remember, the scoreline doesn't matter in that one. Win or lose, it's all for an amazing cause. The people in Puerto Rico absolutely could use your help. And if you have the opportunity to go out to that game, I really suggest you do. It's going to be an amazing night, and it's going to be a very worthwhile cause. But other than that, Orlando City's done. The Major League Soccer playoffs are underway, and Orlando is not a part of that once again. Obviously, we did our big season and review show last week. If you want to check that out over on iTunes, it's on Podbean, Google Play, whatever, Orlando Soccer Show. Go ahead and look that up real quick. Pause the show. Orlando Soccer Show on iTunes, Fourth Official, at Fourth Official Show on Twitter. We're on Facebook as well. There's so many ways that you can connect and reach us. And like I'm saying, with the off season, we want you to get in touch with us. We want you to give us your feedback. Let us know what you want to listen to. Like I said, it's going to be a long off season. We got a lot of airtime to fill, and we certainly want your input. And we want to try to deliver the best possible show for you guys that we can on a weekly basis. But the playoffs are underway. Exciting time in Major League Soccer. I don't know about exciting. I guess I should say. I mean, the playoffs, it's the first leg of the Eastern and Western Conference semifinals are through. They're in the books. We had the knockout games last week. Columbus on penalty kicks advancing against Atlanta United. And then Vancouver over San Jose. Houston advanced past, it was Sporting Kansas City. And then the Red Bulls moved on in their knockout game against the Chicago Fire. So that sets the stage. Western Conference first legs have not been exciting. Not going to sugarcoat it. They've been terrible soccer. Houston's opening game, not good against Portland. Seattle, Vancouver was just an absolute snore fest on Sunday night. There's like one shot on goal the whole night. Over on the other side, though, the Eastern Conference has actually been very exciting to watch. You have a 2-1 game in New York at Red Bull Arena. Toronto FC takes that one. A late Giovinco free kick sets them up. They get the win on the road, so they're going to go back to the second leg at home at BMO Field, up on goal advantage, and they have the two away goals, so that's big for them. And then the Columbus Crew, man, save the Crew. They get a playoff game, their first game at MAPFRE Stadium since the entire relocation news broke just about 2 weeks ago. Emotional night. They packed that place out. An announced crowd of close to 15,000, just under 15,000, but it looked a lot bigger than that. It was an electric crowd out there at MAPFRE. Big win for the Crew, 4-1. New York had a man sent down in the second half. Video review showed a elbow to Justin Miram, and the right call was made on that one. So New York goes down to 10 men. So they'll go into the next leg at Yankee Stadium this weekend. You never know what to expect. You know, New York City is down. Obviously, they did get the away goal, so that's good for them if they need it. Columbus did everything they could. Greg Berhalter did not let the foot off the pedal. They got as many goals as they can. They go in with a pretty big advantage. But all at the same time, you never know what's going to happen at Yankee Stadium. That place is, it's unlike any other venue in Major League Soccer just because of the size of the field. 10 goals could rattle off in that game. You never know what's going to happen. It's going to be a fun weekend. The game in Toronto is going to be fun. Seattle and Vancouver played to a scoreless draw, so Seattle's going to have the advantage going into that one. You know, home field, they're going to 45, 50,000 folks are at least going to show up to that one, so it's going to be exciting. And then you have Portland. Portland's coming back home as well, so they have that advantage to play at Providence Park. A lot of fun, exciting things happening in the playoffs. It's been a lot of debate about the formatting of the playoffs. You know, I think if you're Major League Soccer, there's right now you're still trying to figure things out. I'm a traditionalist in that I like playoffs. I think that the Major League Soccer regular season already does not mean a ton. But at the same time, you know, there are the soccer traditionalists who believe that they should eliminate the playoffs altogether and move on to just a single table. Here's the thing about that. The Major League Soccer schedule is just so unbalanced. It would be impossible to determine a fair and true winner. You have in the Premier League, you have your 38-game schedule. Every team plays each other twice, one home, one away. But in Major League Soccer, the teams are imbalanced. The conferences are, you know, there's so much travel involved. It wouldn't make sense the way that they do the scheduling. There's only 34 games, so you're playing some teams three times. You're playing some teams twice. You play all the Western Conference teams once. It's just such an unbalanced schedule that there would have to be a lot of tinkering. And, you know, as the league creeps up to 28 teams, I'm sure we'll see some more changes in playoff format coming soon. A lot of arguments from both sides, but that'll be something to watch as we go along. A little bit of Orlando City talk now. The Lions are in the offseason. This past week, Kyle Larin announced to the Orlando Sentinel, Alicia Delgado, some good reporting there, that he is ready to move on and go to Europe. This has been a long speculated decision that Kyle Larin going into the offseason, will he stay, will he go? The important thing to remember is that largely this is on Orlando City, and Major League Soccer and Orlando City control Kyle Larin's fate. And as important as it is for him to come out and say, yes, I'm ready to go to Europe now, the Lions still have him under contract for another couple of years. The offers, from what has been reported and what is out there, have not been great, and that is going to play a role in it as well, because Orlando City, Kyle Larin has been their number one goal scorer in Major League Soccer over the last 3 years. If you're going to let this guy go, they're going to do it for an offer that is tough to refuse and something that is actually beneficial to the club as well as Kyle Larin, because, you know, there's multiple sides to this, and Orlando's not just going to let him go for pennies when they can get a lot more. The slump in form hurt. Kyle Larin got off to a great start this past season. He slumped out, DUI arrest in the middle of the season. That certainly hurt him. But I think the smart move here is if Orlando keeps him, they go into next season with him. Kyle comes in knowing what his that he needs to rebuild his form, rebuild his value. And if he gets off to a good start and he has a good few months, then in that summer window, I think it makes a lot more sense for both Orlando and Kyle Larin to get enough to really start looking at these offers and maybe see where things stand. Because right now, I just don't know that it makes sense for either side. If you're Orlando, you're not going to get a lot of value. And if you're Larin, you don't want to have to rush into a situation where maybe it's not going to be the best opportunity. You know, maybe you get minutes, but it's not going to be exactly what you're looking for. Maybe it's more than what you're looking for and you end up fighting for minutes and you don't win those minutes. So it's a very fragile situation over there in Europe, and there's a lot of opportunities and a lot of possibilities as to how this can play out. And that's going to be something to watch over the next few weeks as well. There's no telling what's going to happen with Larin, but I think at the end of the day, it's the smart move is to go into the season as an Orlando City player and just kind of go from there and see what happens heading into the summer. More Orlando City news on the transfer front. We have our first rumor of the offseason. Ooh, yeah, first one there. Orlando's reportedly looking at a Norway international, His name is Joing Berget. He's currently playing at Malmo over there in Norway, which is the same club that Yoshi Utone came from. So that's important to note that Orlando does already have that kind of connection going on. He is a forward. He can play on the wing. Big guy, 27 years old, 101 games with Malmo, 35 goals, 19 assists. He's played with Cardiff. He's played with Celtic. His contract runs through December. Interesting kind of player because, you know, Orlando does end up keeping Kyle Lahr, and they do end up keeping, or Dom Dwyer is coming back next year. You also have Carlos Rivas in the mix at forward. It looks like maybe one of those situations where he's more of a depth guy. He's somebody who can kind of come off the bench, swap in through that lineup. We saw Jason Christ rotate those forwards a lot. Obviously, Lahr and Dom Dwyer are going to be your two number ones, the two guys that are going to play up top together in that 4-4-2. But it's good to have depth on the bench, and that's one thing that Orlando City lacked is a lot of depth throughout in places on the roster, specifically up top at forward. You had Lahr, and you brought in Dwyer, but even before that, there wasn't a lot going on there. Haji Berry, he's a good player. I think he's got some talent, but we didn't really see him break in. Carlos Rivas, statistically, this was his best year, but you just didn't get enough, and there was a lot of frustrations with him kind of moving around on there. So it's an interesting thing to see play out. The reports say that Orlando's currently in talks with them, or they've offered him a deal, so there's really not much else to say. It's just a rumor. You know, it's the off season. The silly season's coming on us. We got a long winter, you know. Just January transfer window's not even here, but they're already coming in, so makes our job a little bit more fun because, you know, we get more things to talk about, so yippee. Let's move on now. Let's go over to the college side. We have the Rollins men's soccer program. Big win for them the other night. They're coming back. They were down 2-1 late in the game, and then within the last 15 minutes, they score two goals, and they pull out a 3-2 win. Big one for them. They now have the semifinals coming up on Friday against the number one team in the conference tournament. So go on, men's Rollins soccer. Big win for them. Big games coming up. It's not done yet. The job's not done. More to come. And then over a little bit more east over at the campus at UCF, the women's, big season for them. American Athletic title champions, conference champions, sorry. Regular season, they finished 12-1-2. They are currently ranked number 7 in the nation. Fantastic season the ladies are doing over there at UCF. Conference tournament is underway. They will host the winner of number 4 Memphis against number 5 UConn this week. That game will take, or the game that UCF will take place in is Friday. It's the semifinals. The championship, should they make that, is on Sunday. So get a chance. Go out and support the ladies. They've had a hell of a season, and they've certainly are going to be looking to top things off and continue to finish strong. Women's College Cup's coming around the corner next month. Maybe we'll see them. Maybe not. Who knows? Never know. Elsewhere, you got the men. They are 6-5-2 this year. They are undefeated in 6 straight games, so that's going well for them. 4 straight wins, 5 of their last 6 games have been victories. They have 1 game left in the regular season. That is at Cincinnati on November 4th. And then they'll head into the conference tournament, which starts on November 10th. So the men they're also having a pretty good year. They're playing in really good form. Things going well for them. And, you know, a lot of good things happen in college soccer around the area. Some good teams and some good players out there showing off. So we'll move on now to the UEFA Champions League. The latest round of group stage games happened this week. Some really interesting results. Let's see. We got Chelsea getting beat down by Roma the other day. That was an interesting one. Real Madrid, oh my goodness. They go into Wembley 3-0 against Tottenham. They lose. Tottenham wiped the floor with them. And get this, crazy as this is, that Tottenham group, Group H, that was considered by many to be the group of death. Nobody saw Tottenham getting out of that. They're leading the group 10 points in 4 games. That's crazy, man. Real Madrid, 7 points. Looking like they're going to advance as well. Dortmund, oh my goodness, 2 points in four games. 2 points in four games. That's the same amount as Opal. Opal has 2 points in four games. No wins, two draws, two losses. Both of those teams, Dortmund. Rough group stage for Christian Pulisic's side. It's been an interesting one to watch. Here's a fun fact for you as well. One defeat in 20 UCL championship or in 20 championship games for the five Premier League clubs so far in the Premier League group stage. Manchester City and Tottenham have already qualified for the final 16. So you got that going on. Liverpool's leading their group currently over Sevilla. Spartak Moscow is also in that group. You got Manchester City over Shakhtar. Napoli's in that group. Third place Napoli. 3 points in four games. That's a rough one for them. Group G shaping up pretty nicely. You got Bistakis at 10 points. FC Porto on 6. Leipzig, 4 points. Monaco, man. 2 points for Monaco. They got no wins in that group stage. So Champions League's taking its toll. It's really chewing up and spitting out some of these bigger clubs. And, you know, that's what happens. You get a lot of good teams in there, and something's got to give. Somebody's going to have to come out on top. And we're seeing a lot of these teams come out on top. So a little bit more interesting as the Champions League continues on. All right, let's get in some final closing segments. We have an Oh My God, Please No for a Spanish soccer player in the second division. His name is Mariano Batolo. Fellas, pour one out for our boy Mariano. He's playing in this game, and then late in the match, he gets kicked. 81st minute, he gets a cleat caught to his undercarriage. Let's just say his man parts, his private zone. God, I don't even know how to explain this. It exploded. And when I say it, I mean it. Yeah, it exploded. He needed 10 stitches to put it back together, and that's, oh boy, man, you feel for that one. It's tough to read. I can't even bear to watch the video on that one. That's a tough one. So thoughts and prayers out to that guy. Elsewhere, we have you can't do that to a goalkeeper in England's sixth division. We have between Salford City and Bradford Park Avenue, goalkeeper Max Crocombe was sent off in the 86th minute. He couldn't hold it. He had peed right there on the field. Referee gave him a red card. Come on, man. Like, a red card? The dude's peeing. You got to give him a yellow card. Like, that is the perfect situation to pull out a yellow card. If you're going to be the referee, at least have some fun with it. Give him two yellows. Give him one. And then when he's done, walk back over, give him another. So you're out here, buddy. Like, it's just crazy. Like, that's, you know, a lot of weird things happen in soccer. You had the goalkeeper who was suspended from the FA Cup for eating a meat pie. The legend of that dude. You have this goalkeeper here. I don't know what's going on with England's goalkeepers, but they're feeling pretty lonely out there. They do whatever they want, so I guess that's what they feel like doing. But, yeah. I gave a red card early in the show. I'm gonna wrap things up with one more red card, and it's gonna be a serious one. It's gonna be a little bit of here and there. So, Kevin Spacey has been in the news this week for sexual assault allegations. Obviously, he's the star of Netflix's House of Cards. I'm a big House of Cards fan. I love that show. This was announced that this will be the final season of House of Cards. And then a couple days later, it was announced that production for the show had shut down. Now, in this discussion, there has been a lot of talk of people wanting Netflix to continue on with Robin White, who plays Claire Underwood, as the lead. I'm here to tell you, no, don't ever do that. That's a terrible idea. And listen, I think that Robin White's a fantastic actress. I'm not saying she's a bad actress. I think she's been fantastic. She's been absolutely stunning in the role that she's played. Claire has been a great supporting character and she's been played very well. However, she's not a main character. She's not an interesting person. I don't want a show figured around here. And that's not anything bad against Robin White. She's a fantastic actress. Claire's just not a good character to center her show around if you're just going to kick out Frank. She's no Frank Underwood. That's what makes House of Cards so good, is the ruthlessness of Frank controlling this whole thing. You don't have Claire doing that. Oh, that's it. That's my red card. That's my double red card. That and then the people who say they don't like this cold weather. The cold weather's awesome, guys. Come on. It's awesome. Get used to it. I'm just going to keep wearing jackets every day. I don't care how cold it is. There's no turning back. It falls here. You got to accept it. That's our show. Like I said earlier, I hate doing these solo shows, but we got to do what you got to do. Hopefully we'll be back next week. Mike, Kyle, we'll all be together. We're still working on getting that big interview that I teased last week. Unfortunately, we couldn't get it together, but we're going to get it together at some point. We're really hoping it's, if not next week's show, we're going to get it at some point. We got a long off season. We're going to get it in eventually, but that's it. Fourth official show on Twitter. Get involved. Let me know how bad this show was. Let me know if you liked the show, what positive takeaways, what things you think we should add. It's like I said, it's a long off season. World Series is on right now. Dodgers are three outs away from losing it. The Astros, obviously everybody knows I'm a lifelong Astros fan since the summer. Big day for me, you know? So we got a lot going on here. Before I get out of here for good, I need to send my thoughts and prayers, my deepest condolences to the family of Orlando City supporter Joe Campo. He was tragically hit and killed in a car accident this past week. He was a prominent figure on the wall in the Orlando City supporter section. He was the Purple Deadpool. If you watch Orlando City games, there's a very good chance you've seen him out there. If you've been to the stadium, you've absolutely seen him out there. He's been a positive face and one of the more dedicated supporters that Orlando City has and has out there in their group for the last you know, handful of years, and he will be deeply missed. Kyle on our show, I asked if he wanted to record a little tribute to him. He's been heartbroken by this, and it's very tough for him at this time to be able to put into words the situation, and obviously understand that, and I don't want to put him into a situation that he's not uncomfortable with, and you know, there's ways to support. If you go find the Ruckus on Twitter and Instagram, there are GoFundMe accounts you can help out with the family. He did have a son, so it's a tough situation, and we'll be thinking about you on Sunday when we go out there for the game against Puerto Rico. Until next time, I'm Gavin Eubank. Enjoy the weekend. We'll see you guys this weekend at the stadium.